Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Discourse, a short-form, one-on-one interview podcast with filmmakers, actors, and other film industry folks, brought to you by The Playlist and hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo. Today I get to lose my mind diving into the second directorial effort from Michael Keaton, entitled Knox Goes Away, which follows the story of Knox, played by Michael Keaton, a seasoned contract killer whose life takes a dark and unexpected turn when he's diagnosed with a degenerative brain disease, while also needing to help his estranged son, played by James Marsden, before he loses his mind completely. The film also stars Marcia Gay Harden, Al Pacino, and many more. Joining me to discuss the film is director and star Michael Keaton and his co-star James Marsden. You likely know them well, but just in case you can't place them, Michael Keaton is an icon at this point, having played in films like Beetlejuice, Batman, Spotlight, The Founder, Birdman, just to name a few. James Marsden, you know from Westworld. He's in the Sonic the Hedgehog films. Jury Duty was a big hit last year for him. X-Men, Enchanted, and much more. As you'll hear at the beginning of the interview, Michael Keaton is one of my absolute idols. So admittedly, this was pretty huge for me. As a Batman 89 fan, that was the one that started it all for me, just as a film buff. I'm also a huge fan of James. My kids adore the Sonic movies, so I see him quite a lot on my TV. But as for Knox Goes Away, I was really pleasantly surprised by how engaged I got in that tangled, mysterious web of a journey that this film takes you on. If you like character-driven mysteries like Memento, I think this one's going to scratch that itch for you. Check it out when it hits theaters on March 15th. I will note that you can also check out this interview in a video format on YouTube. Check out The Playlist YouTube channel if that's the format that you'd prefer. It might help you with some of the visual things we discuss up top, but we also touch on a lot of different subjects in the short amount of time that I had with them. We talk Batman, Beetlejuice, Sonic 3, Deadpool 3, all kinds of good stuff. But before I shoot you over to the interview, I've got to tell you that The Discourse is a part of The Playlist Podcast Network, which includes The Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to subscribe and drop us a comment or rating, as we do very much appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, interviews, reviews, and more. Okay, here is my much-anticipated chat with the amazing duo of Michael Keaton and James Marsden. Mike D'Angelo with The Playlist. Michael, James, how the heck are you guys?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Doing damn good. It's an honor to speak to you both. I watched Knox Goes Away yesterday, thoroughly enjoyed it. So congrats on another winner for you guys.
Mike, I can't help but notice a poster in the back of your...
Yeah, and there's a t-shirt here too. You don't want to know what else I'm wearing, man. You don't want to know.
I just...
What's that? Somewhere.
There's a Sonic poster in the other room.
Yeah.
I absolutely want to dive into Knox Goes Away, but, you know, want to take some time right up top here just to tell one of my heroes how much they mean to me. Obviously, Michael, yes, James. As I'm sure you hear all the time, Michael, the year was 1989 and I was an impressionable four-year-old when that movie came out, Batman, of course. It cracked my brain open. It made me fall deeply in love with storytelling and movies and all of that. And I've been chasing that dragon ever since. So it put me where I am today. I would not be the same without it, without you or Mr. Burton. So just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Welcome. You were four?
I was 4 years old in 1989, yeah.
Now, what did you, that's, That's a lot of to take in at four.
You have no idea, man. You broke me.
That's giant. That's the imagery and all the sound alone and everything for four. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Whoa, dude. What was your mom and dad said? Yeah, we're good. Just, you know,
they saw a superhero and they're like, yeah, go for it. Watch it.
On yourself, or did your parents at least take you? Did you just wander out of the theater alone?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember the theatrical experience. I remember watching it over and over again on my living room floor is what I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Traumatic response kind of way?
Yeah. Yeah, just crying in a curled up ball.
Yeah. I hear those stories like, oh, I saw The Exorcist for the first time when I was five.
Yeah.
What? Or do you mean Jaws?
You know, yeah.
I saw Jaws around then too, but
really?
Yeah. But with, you know, with my experience with Batman in mind, I'm wondering what you both have as kind of those movies for you that you look back and you're like, man, this one broke me open and made me fall in love with this little thing I've become.
You know, that's for me, as that age, I bet you when I say this, he's going to go, well, I love those movies too. And that's before you were probably aware of, like, you know, it's not that Easy Rider was a perfect movie because it wasn't. But it did, you know, and Midnight Cowboy, that whole, you know, Five Easy Pieces, that whole, you know, that slew of those movies when that started, you know, especially things like Midnight Cowboy, you know, and no one really saw movies like that there, because I don't know, to this day, I couldn't tell you what type of movie that is. I don't know what type of movie that is. And oh man, I can think of so many. I mean, this is later when I was not young anymore, but movies like The Verdict are kind of perfect. They're kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Right? You say, yeah, it's good, but there is no but.
No, it's perfect. In fact, is that Newman? Did he get nominated for that?
Finally,
right. Yeah. But and also those movies. My answer to that, but Star Wars. No. What sort of broke it open for me? I mean, I guess that's not a lie. Right.
Yeah.
I was right.
Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. 5-6 years old in the late 70s, and it was that. It was Jaws. Yeah. Jaws broke it open for me.
Jaws is amazing.
That's a perfect movie too.
That is.
The score, the acting.
Yes.
You know, the fact that the shark didn't work, and so they had to, you know, those limits actually ended up helping the creative process.
It's true.
You know.
That movie, when you think about that, because that's like a would be considered probably like big and popular and everything. And it is popular. And you go, it's like E.T. When I see Spielberg down there, I know he goes, dude, why do you keep talking to me about it? Like, look what I've done. And I know it. I'm like the giant fan. But I look at things like E.T. and Jaws, and I go, it's so good.
Yeah.
Jaws is so, how great is Dreyfus in that?
And terrific. I mean, and Robert Shaw.
Oh, Robert Shaw,
all of them. Yeah. I mean, The Godfather's on TV.
Oh, yeah.
The channels. I gotta watch it.
That's the movie. Like, there are a couple movies where you go, you've seen it 1,000 times. You're walking through the living room, happens to be on. You go, oh, yeah, it's Godfather. I'm in a hurry, but I'm just going to watch this one scene. Like, 2 hours later, you're sitting like this. Like, you know?
Yeah. And how they held up still. Yeah. And you can go further back than that, like Billy Wilder.
Yeah.
Some great Sunset Boulevard.
I actually Double met Billy Wilder one time for a minute. Yeah, he was real grouchy.
Oh, was he?
Yes, but funny grouchy, which I understand he was. He was kind of a, you know, a gruff.
Yeah.
You know, said what he thought. So.
Cantankerous.
Yeah. On, sorry. There you go. There's your time, dude. You shouldn't.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, second time you've directed a movie, Michael.
Yes.
Second time you've played a killer in the movies you're directing. Yeah. I guess it begs the question, like, are you okay? Like, what's going on?
No, it is weird. It is odd. And here's to even add to that. The first one took place. I don't even like movies. I don't dislike them, but I'm not like pursuing contract killer movies. You know, I think people have done it better than I will ever be able to do it. And that's an interestingness, but that's not what it was. That's not Knox Goes Away is really. But that's the job. But here's another weird one for you. That last one I shot, made with Kelly MacDonald.
The Merry Gentleman?
Gentleman. It takes place in Chicago. Actually, this took place in Chicago, I think. The original script, I think, took place in Chicago. But I wonder really also, I really wanted to make it a more of a California like, and I also specifically didn't in Married Gentlemen, I wanted people not to know where it was. Like, I didn't want to, there's a little shot where you kind of see the L, but I didn't want any of those iconic things. And then a little bit of that in this, except that I wanted to also feature the Valley, you know, San Fernando Valley. It's really interesting, the Valley, you know? And so yes, it's a weird thing, and I didn't plan it. I'm not pursuing those kind of things. I'm not interested. It's weird to me that both of those, you know, both of them, Count Dracula and et cetera, but this is much, much, much different.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, I've been watching like a bunch of your movies just to kind of, you know, throw them on there. Both of your movies, actually. I threw on Disturbing Behavior this morning as well. So I basically, you know, I've been watching both of you, and James really is a dead ringer for young Michael Keaton. Like, you could see this guy being your son.
What did I say about you being handsome?
I gotta stop.
It is weird. I didn't even think of it much. You have to think of it a little bit, you know. So you go, okay, yeah. And then I kind of didn't think about it. And was watching it in daily stuff, thought, oh yeah, that could work. And then what's really weird is when you see Marcia Gay.
I was just going to say, she looks like my mother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my real mother is living in Oklahoma. Just they are dead ringers for each other. I could totally see this. Like, it almost worked too well.
Yeah.
If these are my parents, but I'm their son.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, you got her, you got Pacino, which is crazy. I mean, I know you guys have both worked with tons of icons, but Pacino is Pacino. So ultimately, I mean, I'm assuming you enticed him with a warm bathtub and that cold Chinese food, correct?
He's a trooper, man. That Chinese was not in that. I added that. That was not in the fact we were talking the other day. I can't remember if it took place in a bathroom or in a bathtub originally. I think it was in the script, but the Chinese food wasn't in there. I said, you know, not Chinese food, you eat Chinese food, you know? And he's such a gamer, man. You know, because, you know, you have to respect this guy, and he may say, yeah, I don't really want to be. First of all, props, more props. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, well, I got to be believable in the scene. He had this really cool thing. If you look real closely, he's got a scar right here from where he'd been shot. You know, that was his idea. And, you know, so he was, anyway, I could go on and on, but that was really fun directing him.
Yeah. And this is one of those mid-budget movies where, you know, they're making less and less of these things. It's one of my favorite kind of, like, a human crime drama is one of my favorite things. And if it ain't a, you know, a blockbuster, if it ain't awards bait, they ain't making it these days. So did you have to fight for this one to be made for a while? Did you have to fight for the exclusive theatrical window, that kind of thing?
Shockingly, you know, no, not in getting it made. The rest, I'm not really, that's not what I do. So a lot of this was, I mean, I know how it works basically, but once I signed on, said, you know, I think I want to, yeah, I'll do this as an actor, but I think I want to direct it. And then Michael Sugar, one of the producers who brought it to me, said, really? I said, I could probably get that. I said, all right, whatever. And I didn't think about it. And they said, we got three places. I'll tell you about the different places. I said, okay, what do you like? You do this. I don't know. That wasn't a big, long discussion, really. And then we found it. And that part came together pretty quickly. And then the rest is hard. It's going to be hard from here on out because everything James and I were talking about, and you said that it's hard to do it. You know what I tell people a lot when they ask me what I've been doing when I was during that time? I said, I'm in the adult movie business. That's true.
With James Marsden.
It's an adult movie. It's, you know, the relationship between me and Johanna. What are you going to say? Well, maybe she shouldn't be a prostitute. No, she's a prostitute. And also, is she? I'll talk forever about this because she and I really talked about, I said, you know, I don't know. How do you even define that? Well, you might have another job. I don't know. And there's zero judgment on it. It's actually a very grown up, extraordinarily grown up relationship, and which and also I thought a really mature relationship, you know. And I said, no, there's zero judgment in this thing. You know, this is how it works. This is how it has to work. She sent me pages of what she thought about the character and what she saw. Yeah, it's impressive, man. Really impressive.
Nice. That's when you know you got someone right. I have to ask at least one Batman question. You were finally able to obviously reprise the role of Bruce Wayne and Batman in The Flash, and the Batgirl film won't sadly never get to see. I talked to Andy Muschietti. I talked to Adilim Bilal.
Those two guys are interesting guys.
High energy, right? Yeah. What was it like to kind of have those experiences all these years later? And did it kind of alter your relationship with the character and the fans and all that?
No, I didn't look at it like that. I just kind of say, oh, this is pretty good. This is well written. I've done this one well, so it should be fun. And then you know, it's all director kind of, you know, what is it about this guy, Andy, you know, or the boys, you know?
Yeah.
Sense of the time.
Yeah.
Fit, schedule.
Absolutely. James, you also had a big career moment playing a superhero at one point in your career with Cyclops in the X-Men. Deadpool 3 is right around the corner. They seem to be bringing back everybody and their mother. I won't ask you directly. That way you don't have to like squirm here.
Oh, I was waiting for you to ask me. No.
Go ahead. Do you think Deadpool and Cyclops would get along? That kind of thing?
No, I think those are two opposite personalities. But I think they would respect each other. I keep hearing about that. I can't walk down the street without someone asking me. So evidently,
see you in Deadpool, man.
Chatter about that. Yeah, be fun.
And then Michael, you got Beetlejuice coming up.
Yeah.
So how was it to jump back into that character? I know you like that was one of your favorite characters to play at one point.
Yeah, ever. It's fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Nervous time, though, you know, because we waited a long time and had a lot of discussions behind the scenes for years, Tim and I. And I admit that I was usually don't get nervous. I just go, okay, I've got to go to work. I just look at it like, okay, time to go to it's my job, right? Just got to go to work. This is what I was nervous about, you know, because pressure is on, you know, but I weirdly kind of like that sometimes. But Tim was more solid than ever.
No, I'm really excited. You and Jenna and Winona, everybody that's coming back. James, my boys would choke me if I didn't ask about Sonic 3. That was the first movie that I took my 4-year-old to. He absolutely loves it. Yeah.
4-year-old had a better experience than you did before. Or not. I mean,
I also took him to The Flash, so I probably broke him a little bit there.
What did he do when he saw all these things? They flipped out.
He loved them. He loved them. He's just like me.
Oh, that's great. I love hearing that. Love hearing that. Yeah, we just wrapped, actually. We were near the Deadpool stages, actually, over there in Pinewood.
Oh, convenient.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
This little Pandora's box. I think franchises, I even hate that word franchise, but, you know, a movie where you make several of them, the sequels, and that's kind of come... You don't really see that often much anymore. So I feel really proud of how what we've created and the response from the fans and everything. We just got to get the animation right in that first movie. But great family, all positive. Jim's just having a ball. He's in his like inspiration zone. And it just keeps...
Plus people haven't seen him for a while too. And he's wildly imaginative.
Yeah, he really is. And he comes to set with kind of like you mentioned, like pages and pages and pages.
Really?
Sheet music. For the day, like really calculated, prepared. So it's a joy to watch him have a good time, like,
yeah,
really enjoying it again. So it's great. It's very lucky to be a part of it. And I think fans are going to be excited about all the new characters. Your boy.
I can't wait to see all of it. Yeah, my little boy will be there with bells on, man.
Excited about Shadow coming in.
Absolutely. Nope, he knows all about it. But they're giving me the rap. They're going to pull me out of here. Right. For our listeners, I will just say Knox Goes Away hits theaters exclusively on March 15th. Again, I can't thank you guys enough. Thanks so much.
Thank you.